Hello and welcome to The Gaming Duel, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Kelvin and Rob, and if you're joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We're the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculations about the gaming industry. Today, we have a special guest, a returning guest, way back from episode 105, someone who rivals the passion for gaming as much as we do. He runs the gaming resume over on YouTube, where he discusses his passion for the gaming industry. Let's welcome Onyx. Onyx, thank you for coming.
Yo, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Hey, nice to have you on. Appreciate you for coming on, man. Really appreciate you. Short notice.
I always enjoyed, you know, podcasting with you guys. You guys are super cool. So awesome. I'm glad to be here.
It's such a late notice too. You know what I mean? Like, we were like, hey, man, like, you want to just hop on tonight? And he's like, yeah, man, let's do it.
Listen, I told my wife, and she knows the occasion. Today's a special day.
Today's a special day. She gives you a pass today.
Yeah.
100%. Well, today, as you know, guys, is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Day. Congratulations, guys. We made it. You guys made it. You guys did it.
We're alive.
I made it because of certain circumstances, but basically my collector's edition is getting delayed, but I was able to get a copy of Final Fantasy VII. I got a digital copy and I'm going to be able to play it. So very, very good for me, but very, very sad. I was very sad. I was like, what am I going to do? I was like, well, I guess I just got to get it.
There was something inside, like I had an inkling for some reason that was going to happen. I didn't want to say it, but I felt like something bad was going to happen to your shipment. And because when you were mentioning like, oh, I'm getting like a week early or something, it was like coming a week early. I was like, I don't know, buddy. I don't know about that, buddy.
Yeah. And that week early thing, dude, like that everybody that ordered a CE essentially had the same notification. And everybody was like, no, there's no way there's going to be a mass like early shipping for this game. No way.
Right. I feel like they should do that, though, because if they ship it earlier, you get it's you digital copy anyway, this. Right? And then you can't play the game until launch.
I believe it's a physical copy. I believe you get a full disc in there.
Oh, so you probably could play the game then.
Yeah, 10,000%. I'm pretty sure it comes with a physical. Yeah.
Can't win. But yeah, you made it, Rob. You made it. Let's get into the daily duo news here. The daily duo.
Onyx, you got to say daily duo in like a really funny or like sing it. Or however you want to say Daily Duo.
I got you. Okay. The Daily Duo.
Hey. I like that. Like a sponsor.
Yeah.
So, of course, guys, it is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Day. Congratulations, guys. The second game in the Final Fantasy VII Remake Trilogy is now available for PS5 on two discs. I don't know about that, but whatever. And will be exclusive to Sony's console for a minimum of 3 months. Having escaped from the dystopian city of Midgar, Cloud and his friends embark on a journey to hunt down Sephiroth, a menacing figure from Cloud's past bent on ruling the planet. Read a description for the launch trailer, which I didn't see the launch trailer. I don't know about you guys. I did not watch the launch trailer.
Nope. Listen.
Hell no.
Their final trailer was spoilery enough. When they said they had a launch trailer yesterday, today, I'm like, nah. Nope. Not watching this crap. I'm waiting.
I saw a tweet from Kevin. And it was like, don't watch. The tweet was, don't watch this trailer. Don't do it. And I was like, okay, you got it. Like, I'm not watching it. Like,
Kevin's a homie because he just gives you that insight prior to like watching anything. He's like, do not watch this. This is so, like super spoilery. Like, don't do it. I'm like, all right, cool. I believe you, man. I trust you. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know about you, Rob. I don't think you've played the actual game yet. You just said you came back from dinner.
Yeah.
Onyx, the star of the show here. You've played a tremendous amount of this game already. This game is not even shy of 10 hours old. So I want to hear your impressions. Obviously, no spoilers, but what has happened throughout these 12 hours or so of this game coming?
So, yes, I have played it a good amount. I think I hit 7 hours. Which is not that crazy. You know, I thought it was a decent number, and somebody in our Discord was like, yeah, I played 12 hours. I'm like, what the fuck?
Didn't go to sleep.
But he is in Europe. He is in Europe, so he has a 6-hour advantage.
Yeah.
So
okay. That's fair. For him, right?
Game unlocked at 6 p.m. his time, or our time, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I've got 7 hours under my belt, and I did skip the demo section, so the game starts with the beginning, and then it goes to the demo section. And the demo section, you can actually skip a good chunk of it. Not the entire thing, but a good chunk. So I did skip that good chunk, which is essentially like the dungeon that you traverse through in the demo. And then, you know, just kind of go through the paces, go through the end, and eventually you get to the open world, right? So I finally, you know, I did the open world segment, started exploring and stuff. And impressions, dudes, I don't want to say this too early because it is only February 29th of the year 2024 of our Lord, but this is game of the year.
Oh, jeez. Like, right off the jump? Like, okay.
Listen. I've played a lot of games in my life, and I've played quite a few open world games in my life. Okay. I feel like a lot of open world games have a lot of bloat, have a lot of stuff that is just put there to extend game time. Sometimes it feels tedious. Sometimes it could be fun, right? Breath of the Wild, I think, is one of the best ones in that like subgenre, right? The designers and the developers know how to make things interesting. Mm-hmm. And today, a couple hours before now, I 100% completed that first area. I did literally everything in that first area.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. Like when I did it, I got this like big notification. It's like, hey, you completed the area. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, seriously? Like it didn't even feel like it was busy work. I was having that much fun doing everything. And it's not a lot, mind you. It's not like Assassin's Creed, right? Where you have to hunt down 50 flags, you know, 30 towers and crap, you know. It's not like that, you know. It's a nice condensed number, and everything felt good. Everything had a progression. Even if you're doing the same thing, each one adds something to it, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, early impressions, dude, extremely high, extremely.
Mm-hmm. Music to my ears.
I mean, that was my biggest issue in the beginning, like when I played Remake, right? Where it just felt like the side quests were just another path, another like thing in your way to get to the main mission, for me at least, right? Again, everyone knows I'm not the biggest like lore when it, like my lore for Final Fantasy VII isn't that like, you know, crazy, but I just wanted to get to the main path. I wanted to see the story and unfold. I didn't want to bother with the side quest, and honestly the side quest didn't really do much for me, but I feel like they're really honing down on the side quests in this game, and they're kind of almost implementing it into the main story, or like you have to play these, but they're actually really good, right? They're, from what I've seen and from what I've played, they're really great side quests that will actually kind of add to the story, but add to your gameplay value, I guess I will say.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have played it.
I actually played a little bit. So I was going to ask you, when you mentioned the demo, does it give you, obviously no spoilers, but does it give you like a message saying, hey, you can skip the demo part if you beat it or something? Okay. So I haven't even gotten that part yet, but yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. If you played the demo, and I won't go into too many spoilers, but like right before you go into the dungeon of that area.
Yeah.
Right. After you know what I'm talking about?
I'm
like
right going there.
Up the mountain.
I'm right there.
Literally after you fight your first monsters, it tells you, hey, you can skip this section, and you just hit yes. I will say, once you skip that, if you're trying to skip the cutscenes, do watch the final one, like after the crawling scene.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Watch the cutscene after, because I made the mistake of skipping it, and it skipped everything, and the demo didn't actually end there. Mm. The demo actually, okay. Or I'm sorry, the demo ended early. It shows you that cutscene and it ends, but there's more stuff after that. And I thought that I would be safe. I wasn't. So I ended up skipping a really, really important cutscene. So I had to watch it later.
So just so I know, when I boot up this game, I played the demo. I've beaten the demo. Should I just play through the demo portion again, just so I don't miss anything, or it's okay for me?
No, it's you can skip it. Honestly, like if you don't want to experience it again, you really don't have to. And like I said, like when you skip the cutscenes, right? Like when you get to the point, there's a very obvious point where you have to do the input with the crawling. At that point, like just watch everything after that. Don't skip anything after that.
Okay.
Right. I love that part anyway, so I won't.
I
wasn't.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, man. This is, I'm excited to play this. I want to absorb everything from this game. Because this game is, it's such a pull, like tug of war for me, where I'm like, I want to be on your level. I want to be on Onyx's level. I want to be on Rob's level, Kevin's level. And something about it just never really made me feel that way. And I'm hoping this is the one. And so far,
It will.
I haven't played much of it, but I played the demo. I played a little bit now of the full game. Right. I'm loving it, man. I'm already invested. By the way, before I even played the demo, I played the backstory. You know, it kind of tells you like what happened so far. Yeah. That was a very great like way of putting it. It was a good chunk of information. I'm like, okay, that was great. Like, if you guys haven't played Remake or if you just forgot, it does encapsulate mm-hmm. everything pretty well, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and I think I've said this before, I think on Discord with you guys, that if you have no like attachment to the original, or if you never really played the original, Midgar was such a short segment. Like what you played in Remake is such a little chunk of the original
tiny
game.
Tiny sliver.
Yeah.
And what Rebirth is going to cover is like the majority of the game. Because disc one ends essentially where this game is going to end. And then you have two more discs. But disc two and disc three of the original don't cover as much as disc one. Disc one was a lot. It's like the longest chunk of the game.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to get, I wouldn't say necessarily the best parts, but this is like
the meat of the game.
What really sold people. Yeah. This is the part where people were like, okay, I see the magic of seven. Mm. And then like, you know, what happens in the later half of the game, it's like, it like solidifies it, right? It's like, okay, this is good. And then you get through it, everything, and the resolution of the character's conflict and everything. And when it all like wraps up, you're like, God damn, that is a game. That is an experience. And you're not going to get that yet, which is so unfortunate. That's one of the drawbacks of this Remake trilogy. It is broken up, unfortunately. Mm. So you're not going to get to see that actual conclusion. And who knows? It might be even different based on the trajectory that this Remake project is going, right?
Right.
But I do have faith in these developers. These developers clearly loved the original growing up, right? The director has said multiple times, like, I grew up playing seven, and I'm very lucky that I'm working on this Remake project, though. He comes from a place of passion.
Oh, yeah.
And I have faith. I really do. I really think they're gonna nail it, truly.
Yeah, you can't deny the passion that they have in this game. Like, that's one thing you can definitely see, like the passion here and everything from like the music, the orchestra, the orchestra is beautiful. Phenomenal.
Dude, the music direction.
Just
is
in the beginning. Again, I'm only talking about the first 30 minutes of the game. And I'm like, fuck, man, they nailed this. Yeah. Like, dude, this is amazing.
The battle theme composition, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in the open world. Took the main theme of the game. So the main theme was Cloud's theme. That's what you call the main theme, and also the overworld theme. Mm-hmm. They took that theme and they somehow blended a battle theme out of it. And like that song originally is very so mellow and kind of sad, right? Yeah. It's like Cloud's journey is a sad journey, especially once you really learn it.
Yeah.
So it has those undertones of sadness and stuff, but a little bit of hopefulness. How you take that and make like an exciting ass battle theme out of it, like it's honestly genius composition, man.
Oh yeah.
Like when you get to the grasslands, you're gonna know the first song you hear, that's that you'll be like, okay, that's the song Onyx was talking about. Once you get into a battle, you're gonna hear that crescendo going up and it's just good.
Oh god, shivers. Good, shivers.
I will give you some, you know, some points here, Kelf, because again, you didn't play the original, so it's hard for you to be like, like Onyx said, you only got a sliver. Remake is literally a tiny, tiny segment. It's not even when the game actually becomes
like
the game.
Hours,
it's like the training version of like the game. It's literally like
a tutorial.
You didn't get you didn't get the full version of the game in Remake. That game is so crazy. It expands so much, and there's so much going on. I'm playing the original on PS. You know, I'm playing the original right before this is coming out. And to this day, I'm like, holy crap. Like when this came out, this would have blew my freak. This did blow my mind. I understand. Like I had to replay it to understand that, but it is truly an amazing game. And there's a reason why people love it so much.
Stepping out into the open world the first time, like you're in Midgar for so long and it feels so claustrophobic and small and linear. Right. And then you get out of it and like, boom, it's like, Oh, I can just go anywhere now, right? And and it looks so basic nowadays, right? It's this green plain texture, some mountains in the background, a tiny little dot that's calm. That's a little city. But it still was just like, wow, here's the open world. And it was the first 3D Final Fantasy, right? Like the first, essentially, I don't know if it's the first open world, right? Because it's really not open world, but it felt that way, man. Mm-hmm, so it's... Mm-hmm. it's hard to replicate that nowadays, where we're so used to the idea of a giant space you get to play around in, you know. But I think they did nail that open world design. Like, it just felt good to explore, man. It really did.
I have a question for you, Onyx. A big gripe of people with Final Fantasy 16 was the side quest, right? The side quest where it was kind of a sore point within the game, and this being so close to Final Fantasy 16 as far as launch date goes. Do you feel like the side quest in this game are a major upgrade? Are they, do they feel the samey? Like, can you tell there's like kind of the same kind of ass, or is it completely different?
Great question, by the way.
That is a really good question, actually. No, go ahead. Really?
I was going to say, like, are they similar in the sense that, like, the way that you kind of tackle them, that kind of thing, or?
So yeah. I'll give you the first side quest that I did, right? And I'm not going to tell you, like, the specifics of the story. I'm just going to tell you, like, what you do, right? And then I want you to think of the first side quest in 16. Right. And I'll start with 16. Right. And I love 16, just preamble. Right. I love that game. 16's first side quest was, if I remember correctly, you're in the hideout. You talk to a restaurant guy and he's like, hey, we need to feed these guys. They're hungry. Yep. We need to help them out, whatever. And you go around, you feed them. They give you some lore or some lip or something, you know, but that's kind of it. It's to build somewhat of a relationship with these people inside the hideout. It worked for what it did, but it's not exactly exciting. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. The first side quest that I did in this game, and again, this is my first side quest, not, again, open world, very different. You get to pick where you go. I probably missed a few, but this was the first one that I did. It was very obvious. Like, oh, the game like tells you, hey, this is a side quest, you should do it. So that was the first one that I saw. You go to a place to pick flowers. It's very far from where you're at. So you see a lot of stuff on the way there. You get to explore. You can't fast travel yet. So it incentivizes the exploration aspect. I ran into a bunch of crap on the way there, got distracted a million times. By the time I got there, you pick the flowers, or you fight some enemies. Sorry, you have to fight a bunch of like really unique enemies because I hadn't seen them in any other area besides this area. Fight them, pick the flowers, deliver them. You get a really nice cutscene and story elements that are really high quality, higher quality than 16. And then you get your rewards after that. Yeah, it's night and day. I hate to say it.
That painted a great picture, okay. By the way.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah. That painted a phenomenal picture because I do remember playing 16 and doing that first side mission. I'm like, okay, like, it's weird. Like, why is this even something that I need to do at the moment? And I get it. Like, again, trying to, like, give you that, like, relationship with everybody that lives there. But it was just kind of, like, odd. Now, what you explained, I'm like, okay, that, as simple as it sounds, is an exciting mission.
And it's like it also shows you their goals. Each game had a different goal. The goal of 16 was to really show you the people and to really show you the conflict and to really show you like the world, but from a human perspective.
Right.
This game, it's like, okay, this is a huge ass world you got to explore. So it's showing you the environment, but also within that environment, you get to learn a lot of stuff. Like, I saw something that I actually posted on my Twitter, it caught my eye, and I'm like, yo, that is such a cool attention to detail, right? Okay, you saw that. And I don't want to say it just in case, because I thought it was a cool little moment, right? It's not a big deal. I don't think it's a spoiler or anything.
No, no.
But I just saw it, and I'm like, that's a really cool attention to detail. Yep. It ended up coming up later in a side quest.
Oh.
So it's like, shit is connected, man. So, I don't know. It's just two very different design philosophies. And no. You know, I'm not trying to throw shade at CBU3. You know, the devs of 16, they know what they're doing. They made a really good game with flaws. And this game, I'm sure, is going to have flaws too. But they're just very different design philosophies. And I think that these guys went a very different avenue. They took a lot of inspiration from Horizon, right? And I know Hamaguchi, the director, really liked that game, as much as I didn't like it. And the 16 devs, like, they're MMO devs, man. They don't really have that much experience. So the MMO design showed up in that game. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we can sit here and talk about Final Fantasy VII all day, but we have gaming news. I'm sure we'll discuss more of our thoughts and impressions as the week goes by. Obviously, we'll play the game over the weekend and you'll hear our thoughts most likely on Monday. But let's get into the other news here. Rockstar asked devs to return back to their office. According to Bloomberg, Rockstar head of publishing, Jen Kolb, told staff the company plans to end hybrid working for productivity and security reasons, saying it believes there are tangible benefits from in-person work. Quote, making these changes now puts us in the best position to deliver the next Grand Theft Auto at the level of quality and polish we know it requires, along with a publishing roadmap that matches the scale and ambition of the game. What do you guys think about this? Is this a good thing or kind of like, you know, Rob, I want to hear your thoughts because you kind of live in this kind of.
Yeah, I was remote world, and then I went to the office. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
what are your thoughts?
It really depends on the industry you're in or what you're doing for work. For example, for video games, I do think it is beneficial for you to be in an office environment because you get to communicate with your other developers and work on a project right then and there and kind of congregate in a place and look and tackle problems very easy proximity to each other. Right, so it does make it a little easier. Do I think like they should offer some type of hybrid for like some days? Like some days I'm just going to work on this code at my house, right? Like that should be fine. But I do think that there is some collaboration that is involved within an office environment, especially for the gaming industry. So that's kind of my take on it. But a lot of office jobs, most office jobs, I think are you could do remotely for the most part. What about Yonex?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the office before COVID and the pandemic happened and we got sent home and we haven't gone back to the office since. I literally have like all my decorations still in my little cubicle, probably full of dust after 4 years.
Wow.
I have not gone back. I should.
Do they give you the option to or no?
Yeah. I probably got a new badge at this point. but the thing is, right? Like I honestly don't work in the, you know, in anything that in an industry that works like it's not a collaborative thing, right? I work for pharmacy, so it's very different.
Right.
It's like insurance and stuff. So it's not collaborative. Like that's not project based. So I really don't know how that would feel like. I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I think like going in an office and everybody working there would make sense. I do think that now we are in an age where production hasn't necessarily decreased from home. I think it's actually increased if I remember correctly. I think hybrid is the way to go. If you need people to be in the office, it does suck. I did see that a lot of people were not happy with that return and stuff, because you're adding travel time, you're adding gas, you're adding mileage in your vehicles. It means more constant oil changes, which means more, you know, food outside and things like that. It's just a lot more that you don't need to do, you know?
Right.
So I can't speak on that specific sector. I don't know how it works. I don't know what's better or not, but I do believe that we are in an age where, you know, remote work is definitely possible. I mean, it's more than possible. It's a reality.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that affects. I think honestly, they're probably doing it more because of the leaks, man. Those leaks were so bad. They probably don't want to risk it anymore.
Right. You know right. I mean? It's a big security thing. And I get it. Like, I just think companies should be able to be flexible. I don't think it should be like a rigid, like, this is what you have to do. And that's it. It's like, no, like it should be as, you know, if this is the how I'm going to get the most efficiency out of you, then go ahead. Right. Like that's what I want. Right. So,
yeah, I mean, they don't want to, they're also paying rent on these buildings, so they probably want to get most out of it.
I see it on both views, man. Like, again, I'm in a different perspective where I work at a hospital, so I'm mandatory. I have to be there, you know what I mean? But I understand totally like why it makes sense for people to be remote. You know, I understand that there is extra cost to that doesn't necessarily make sense to do that. Right. From a gaming perspective, from a company's perspective, I understand it as well, because like you said, Onyx, they're renting the space. They need, like, there's no point in them renting the space if there's nobody in there. But Rob, from a perspective that you said, the juices flow better when you're in close proximity with people and you're kind of sharing ideas. And you know, I just watched the Hideo Kojima project that he had on Hulu,
the Disney Plus the documentary, right?
The documentary, thank you. Yeah. And gotcha. I mean, you can see just how they interact and the meetings that they have, they share ideas and back and forth. So it definitely helps. But in this perspective, especially GTA fucking 6, dude, like they are trying to, like, this isn't like your regular like indie game. You know what I mean? Like this is GTA 6.
The game. So this is the game.
The game. And they they want to make sure that there are no more leaks that happen. And they want to make sure that no one's like, you know, searching in the dark web like Rob. I think knows how to get in there. I don't
know. I don't know.
We'll never know. I don't think he'll ever share.
I don't know.
But, you know, someone could be like Googling stuff and something leaks. You never know. I don't know. But it's just they want to keep their cards close to their chest. And I totally get that from a business standpoint. Let's pause for a second here. Guys, if you are enjoying this episode, rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Drop a review and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the Gaming Duel community where friendships are built through gaming. We had a lot of talk about this this week. Final Fantasy was the main topic, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like it happens every couple of years, you know?
Exactly. Speaking of our Discord, I was going to say, did you like my Kirby image?
No. You there's something you do some like I don't know what this is the thing. You whatever you search is more alarming.
It's great. The dark web. It's the dark web, baby.
Is that what it is? Because I'm like, how do you what do you write? Man, what do you type in? I don't want to know.
Just put in something. Put in something. Yo.
Come on, man. Come on. There's funny. Kids. You never know. There's kids on our Discord, you know?
Oh, Jesus. Sure.
Rob, anyways, let's get back to the news. Real quick, before we move on to the main topic here, Pokemon trading card game won't have any NFTs. So, Rob, you mentioned yesterday, saying, hey, they might have, like, this kind of feels like an NFT thing. Well, the Pokemon company mentioned that there are no NFTs. Quote, the Pokemon Company International has not developed or approved of non-fungible tokens related to the Pokemon brand and associated intellectual property. So there you go.
I guess it's not in the sense that like you can still pull the same card in a different pack. Like multiple people can have like the same card, but like it does stink smell of like an NFT thing kind of to me. It's a little stinky.
Sure. It reminds me of like those NFC cards, right? Those like, you remember those? Like the
e-readers?
Yes.
The 3DS crap where like you would like have a little card and you could like pull data from it and stuff, or like you said, the e-reader and stuff. That's what it reminds me of more than an NFT, because you said it's not like one singular token. It's just multiple of them, I guess.
Right. But
I don't know. But hey, we'll
see. I'm gonna be opening packs. I guarantee it. So.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be swiping and shit like that. That's man, come on. Rob, hit us with the last news of the week here.
Yeah, real quick. So we have mech footage has leaked for Helldivers 2. A player who originally posted the footage on Reddit said they encountered mechs in a random game this week. Imagine you're playing Helldivers 2. That's hilarious. They said another player was able to spawn in multiple types of mech, which allowed pilots to alternate between rockets and machine gun. They also claimed to have new weapons like an energy RPG, quotes, a meteorite that hits like a nuke. And a group of NPC support characters can be called in. Mechs were available in the original Helldivers and were teased as coming soon after launch in the pre-release trailer of the sequel. Imagine you're playing and the game is already crazy, right? There's a bunch of stuff happening.
And you're 30 hours in, you don't see any mechs for like the 30 hours that you're playing. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And you're like, a mech is just coming towards you and shit. And it's like nuking.
Shooting energy place. RPGs.
Like, what the fuck is this?
That is so cool, dude. Right, that is so cool. I wish that I was able to get more like game time with the game, because listen, no, hold on. I genuinely tried to play this damn game. First, the servers wouldn't let me in.
I finally got in.
Play wasn't working. I wasn't able to queue up with anybody. So I'm playing on my lonesome, which it's fun, but it's not the same. It's playing with a squad.
Nope.
So like, dude, like 2 days of this, just constant trying. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not doing this right now. Seven Rebirth is out next week. I'm not going to play Helldivers once that comes out. I refunded it. I was like, you know what? I refunded it. I'll buy it again.
That's fair.
When everything is fixed and it's actually real stable and stuff, that's when I'll buy it, you know, when I have more free time. But like, I honestly bought it because I wanted to be part of it before Rebirth came out, because it looked so much fun. I wanted to play with the boys. Like, I was like, you know what? I want to squad up with whoever. It just was not working, dude. So I'm like, you know, it is what it is. Like, it definitely was fun when I played it. Like, the shooting felt good. The way like things level up felt good. Mm-hmm. but dude, nah, it's, if I can't play your game, bro, I'm come on.
Yeah.
You're at least not an argument. Especially now.
Yeah.
Like, especially I will Rebirth say they out. Did a great job of, like, you know, fixing those servers, communicating with the with everybody, yeah, with the community. So they've done their due diligence, and it just sucks. You know, obviously gaming is, or making games as difficult as it is, and having servers at that is like another layer on top of that. So I totally get it. I haven't played much of it.
Does Quick Play work? Does Quick Play finally work? Or
I haven't played much.
Honestly, I think it does work. I really haven't played a lot, but I guess you can play a lot more easier. But I feel like the time has passed because everyone on PlayStation is now in Rebirth. So, like, I don't know.
I think it's at a pause. I think people are going to play Rebirth. It takes about a week for people to finish games at this point. It takes me like 4 months. And by the time, you know, next week rolls out, people are going to go back to Helldivers because there's still nothing like it. There's still nothing out there that gives you that.
Multiplayer-wise.
You
know what I mean? Everyone's going to get that itch to,
yeah. And then plus, once they start kind of putting like this freaking mech stuff out there, like, they're going to come back. You know what I mean?
And dude, it's honestly a really unique idea. The idea of like a constant, like, ever-present campaign that everybody's trying to go at the same time, like, to fight back against the enemies. That's honestly like a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. And it's only PvE, which there is still some toxicity. I see some people like getting kicked for no reason.
Oh, the builds, you don't have the right build. Yeah, which is like the meta. Stupid, like, stop it.
So stupid. People will always find toxicity. So think of the developer or the director's like words about like, oh, I don't want to put PvP because I don't want it to be toxic. Right. People are still being toxic in non-PvP.
So ridiculous.
Imagine with PvP. Oh my god, right? So
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I did see a video that someone was comparing the gameplay style to Metal Gear Solid 5. And I'm like, the controls. I'm like, I kind of see it.
Yes, okay.
Sure.
But dude, MGS5, dude. That gameplay is like,
yes.
1,000%. That is the best playing, not just Metal Gear Solid game. I would say that's one of the like best playing third person like shooters.
Yeah, like any kind of espionage, like you can be. I just remember I was able to like roll forever like on the floor like
you could do so much shit, dude. There are so many things you could do with the environment, with the people, with your gadgets, like it is insane. Like Helldivers, it does have variety, right? But I don't think, at least not in that. The movement, though, I will give it that.
That's what I mean. Like, the movement is similar to, I'll have to post it on our.
I think I saw it. No,
I saw the resemblance. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But regardless,
which is a good thing, because if they did see MGS5 and were like, yo, we want to kind of copy this movement, like, hey, not a bad thing to copy.
Yeah, good luck. But hey, man, do your thing.
Yeah.
Last thing before we head out here, I haven't really dived into this game, but I'm still super interested in this game. I still want to dive into it. I still want to play and actually squad up, get into it, like really put some hours into it. I just have a catalog of games that I need to get through
after Rebirth,
Reload, Rebirth. But then it doesn't end, dude. Like March comes, then April, like. It's Cell not Blade. Gonna end, man. Stop, dude. Like, that's gonna come, and I'm gonna be like day one, and it's just never gonna end. But I'm hoping this year we have some type of like dry area.
The summer. Summer will be paused. We'll be good.
I don't know. You got Elden Ring.
I'm kind of screwed in summer because you got Elden Ring DLC, and then they haven't announced a date, but the Final Fantasy 14 expansion is coming out in summer as well.
And we have the DLC for Final Fantasy 16 next month, right?
That's next month. Well, they're going to reveal it next month. I am thinking it's going to be an April date, either early April or mid-April.
I hope April.
Jesus Christ.
So, bear with me. I'll make it super short.
Go for it.
Rebirth right now. Next month, Dragon's Dogma 2. A week or two after that, the 16 DLC. A week or two after that, Stellar Blade. I forget what's out in May. I feel like there's something in May that I'm forgetting. But then in June, I have that 14 expansion, mm-hmm, a major ass expansion, and Elden Ring DLC. How am I supposed to do? How am I living?
How are you doing? How are you gonna do it?
I don't know.
No.
Sleepless
just
nights.
Duplicate yourself somehow. Yeah, literally sleepless nights. Like just lots of caffeine and sleepless nights. That's it. That's the only way.
Yeah.
I love my sleep, but I'm gonna have to do it, man. I'm gonna have to do it.
Yeah. It is what it is. Otherwise, we're not gonna finish something.
Well, let's wrap up this week's gaming news. Guys, we have merch. Please check out our gaming store, gamingduopile.com. You can definitely check out all our episodes, our YouTube videos. Everything's all there for you guys. A big shout out and thank you to all of our listeners. Again, make sure to review, like, share, and subscribe to get notified on all of our gaming content heading your way. We'll be back next week for your gaming news. Until next time.